Game on! He shoots, he scores! Oh! One for one!
That is going wild! Score!
The hockey guys are on the air.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
The hockey guys. The tradition continues.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Cheers. Good morning, hockey fans. We have a big show this morning with the hockey guys. Jeff Bradel, Eddie Christian, Eric Grafstrom in the studio this morning. We're going to have on the radio in the second period Anna Promisberger, a forward from Penn State women's hockey team, along with Josie Brotham, a goaltender. Have one loss this season. We visited with their head coach, Jeff Campersall, a few weeks ago. Now we'll listen to some local products from Fargo and East Grand Forks, Minnesota. But to start the show off right now, let's talk about the World Junior Hockey Tournament and have some local flavors here with Tyler Clevin from Fargo and Jake Sanderson playing, both of those gentlemen playing for the University of North Dakota. But, boy, when USA was playing Sweden, Tyler Clevin absolutely hammered this guy from Team Sweden. 6'5", 210 pounds, eighth-round draft pick last year of the Edmonton Oilers, signed a contract to go play with Edmonton after the World Junior Tournament, and Clevin just laid him out. Can we play that, Spence?
Clevin,
that's one of those 3-4 second rules, Chris Clevin, the father of Tyler. You get rid of that puck, you better keep your head up for 3-4 seconds because that's old-time hockey.
Did you say eighth rounder?
Eighth pick in the first round.
Yeah, you said eighth rounder. I was going to say that's a round better than I and Corwin Sardo for.
That's better than Chris did, too. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How you doing?
Doing fine. Well, I'll tell you what, Tyler... having a good show up in Edmonton Red Deer along with Sanderson, but that hit, that body check that he had on that player, the captain from Team Sweden, kind of stopped Sweden's comeback in that game that USA needed to take that first position in their bracket to get into the playoffs and go for the gold medal. So what are your thoughts, Chris?
Well, it's been a very exciting time to watch him play there and contribute when he gets in the lineup. It's not easy to get in there. They got a lot of D along with them, and you just you have the next man up mentality. And when your number's called, you get out there and do your best. So it's been fun to watch him. It's been nerve wracking to say the least, but pretty proud of him and the whole team. It's been, hope they get the gold. So,
well, you know my view. I texted it to you during that game. And to be successful in any level of hockey, you have to control the boards from the face-off slashes in the defensive zone down along the boards below the goal line, and then the opposite in the offensive zone. And when your son's out there, he brings that old-time hockey. Dave Starman, the color commentator, compared him to Matt Smaby, former player at the University of North Dakota. That's kind of in the era of Dave Starman, but I'll go back to the era of someone like a Mark Chorty, Eddie, someone like a Rick Zombo. What do you think? Howard Walker?
Or maybe a Craig Ludwig, because when Luter decided to get a little bit mad at somebody, he could go through the boards and keep going.
Yeah.
It took away, you know,
or up in the stands.
It took a little bit to get him lit up, but if he got mad, you didn't want to be in the same space as Craig Ludwig.
No, he looked mean all the time, even when he was smiling. Hey, Chris, big full lineup today. Who does the U.S. play? I think everyone in the World Juniors is playing today, aren't they?
Yeah, I think I got Slovakia. I think at 8:30 tonight. Don't know much about the team, but pretty good chance of winning tonight, hopefully. So,
well, Chris, I know you're traveling to the northern part of the state. I just wanted to touch base, let you know we're all proud of your son Tyler for many reasons, and his line partner Jake Sanderson. That, like Dave Starman said, they're the odd couple. One's 6'4", one's what, about 6-1? But they're at the rink at 6 a.m. in the morning before anyone else does, every day. So that's one thing you got to be proud of. Chris, drive carefully this morning.
Sounds good. Will do. Go Team USA. So
that's right, USA. I'll text you during the game and give you my opinion again, but I'll leave out the words I can't say on the radio.
You got it.
Take care, my friend.
Thanks so much.
Well,
we better mention, just for those little M fans that are in the building, we actually have Mr. Grasterman proudly wearing a Minnesota Gophers shirt. He must have won in a bet or picked up at the secondhand store because Goldie looks a little tattered and worn.
Sometimes you buy what you like.
Well, I tell you what,
I was going to suggest the defenseman from Minnesota, Johnson, got a goal the other night, too. So if we're going to take
Boy, those defensemen for
USA are good.
That play for the Gophers, that play for USA, yeah, they're good. They're really good, and they can move that puck. They can take the body. Ooh, ooh! Second half of the college season is going to be fun to watch. Boston College with Zegras and Knight in goal, and Brody, the draft pick of the Wild, who's 6'4". Oh, I can see why they have a hell of a team this year. And the Gophers and North Dakota. Those are the three teams, in essence, the players are coming from. We had a really good conversation for about half hour, but we could have started earlier and gone on for 2 hours on coaching and high school coaches around North Dakota, Minnesota, coming out of the War Road area with Eric. And, yeah, we could continue that on about Bruce Olson, Dean Blaze, the Nasses, the Christians.
You had Rube. Rube touched college, touched Rose, touched War Road. You had...
I want to tell you guys that, you know, it took the Minnesota guys to get the Sioux going, you know, with Bjorkman and Dean Blaze and that. So you got to be thankful for the Gophers.
Well, and the Bulldogs with...
When have the Gophers ever won without a 2-1-8er or a 7-1-er?
Well, we need that for sure. We need some grit out there. And
right now, I don't know that Motz has the grit guys.
No.
The good thing for the 2-1-8ers is this, is they send their coaches, they get educated, and they learn how to coach in North Dakota. Then they go back to the 2-1-8 area code and win state championships after learning how to coach.
Well,
Bruce
the great
Olson
part,
and Dean Blaze.
Hey, the yeah. great part about coaching in Minot is you've got 16 parents that help you coach, so you learn. Because every play that's going on the ice, the parents are coaching their kid. Kind of a little bit probably like there is now in Minnesota that... When you go to the rink, who's coaching? Because I think most kids are looking to the stands to figure out, you know, what play they're supposed to make.
Oh, we have a caller this morning. Caller, what's your name?
Hi, my name is Stephanie, and I'm from Lake Park.
You called in last week too.
I think she likes Jeff.
I did. I wake up early just to hear the show.
Well, thank you. What can we do for you today?
Well, I was wondering, Jeff, if you could roll the dice to see who's buying breakfast today.
How about if we roll it twice to see who's going to pay for supper?
So Stephanie, Stephanie,
I would like that.
Stephanie, whose role is this?
Where
is
we
this
going?
Yours or Jeff's?
Well, I got to meet you first. Either McDonald's or...
I'm a Taco Bell fan, that's for sure.
We need three meals.
Whose role was this?
This was Stephanie's.
1, 2, 3, 3, 4.
8, 7, 6, 5, 3, 0, 2, was it? All right. Stephanie, here's my role.
I think Jeff's buying dinner.
That wasn't a bad shake.
Oh, I got 3 4s.
Yeah, Jeff's buying.
Oh, no.
Well, you better leave your phone number with Spence, and we'll call you after the show.
Oh, I can't wait. Thank you so much.
Stephanie, thanks for calling in again.
Stephanie, I'm blushing here.
I think she's
here.
A regular.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, maybe next week I'll call in, too, after dinner. We'll see how it goes.
Well, lucky, Ed, you could show up for me because she doesn't know what I look like.
Here's what's fun.
You could have Tom Cruise. You could have hair like, Fabio?
Well,
a body like Schwarzenegger?
I think I saw something yesterday that said men lie and women go on looks, I think you're in trouble.
Uh-oh. Well, I tell you, you have a great day.
Thank you for calling in, Stephanie.
You know, Ed, you talked about the parents and having 16 coaches out there. I think that has a lot to do with whether it's a first generation or a second generation hockey parent. You know, if the parents haven't played before and are used to the basketball or volleyball, you get kind of loud and
rambunctious.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, I don't think you even heard me raise my voice yesterday. I was sitting on the opposite side of the rink by myself with my two grandkids, my daughter and her husband, and half the time I was kissing my granddaughter because she was so cute, rather than watching the game. And I think that has a lot to do with it. Now, there's personalities-wise. But we were talking about, you know, you take those Class B schools, and in Minnesota you would have XYZW High School put together as one team. You know, we're missing that Carrington. We're missing that Oaks. We're missing those Castleton, Mayville, all those coming together and having a high school team and being competitive.
Now, I know there's things going on. I know Mayville's pushing hard, Portland, to get into that hockey world. I think Wahpeton's picking up. Last night, as you mentioned, Mandan, the Mayhem were in town. So
yeah.
I think the game's growing. I guess getting there. And come back to the Hockey Guys and sponsored, again, appreciate Cullen Insulation, show sponsor. And next segment, we'll be reaching out with Bagan Strinden Vision. And we appreciate them sticking with the Hockey Guys. We're going to have a couple of gals from women's college hockey, Penn Staters. And they were kind enough to come on with us this morning, so we'll have them online when we're back on in 3 minutes at 8:18 and kind of get an idea of what it is in women's college hockey today. So come back after the break, and we'll be on with a couple of prominent women players in college hockey. Could have been a backup singer for nobody.
For Jackson Brown?
With a voice like mine, I would have been for nobody. Well, Jeff,
well,
you're
well,
on.
Well, I had to put up with that in the doors on the first floor of Walsh Hall.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jeff. Say something. Yeah.
He's always trying to sing.
Well, I'm going
to
say Anna Promisberger, Josie Brotham, welcome to the Hockey Guys. We're a hockey show out of Fargo, North Dakota, and we sure want to say congratulations on both having great careers at Penn State Women's Hockey Program. Anna from Fargo and Josie from Forest Lake, but your old man played for East Grand Forks. Welcome to the Hockey Guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on with us this morning.
We had your head coach, Jeff Campersall, on a few weeks ago, and going through your lineup, we're like, I know her. So it's Eddie and I are like, well, let's get him on our radio show. We generally cover, you know, men's, but we've covered women's. We've had the Lamoureux girls on. We've had the Olympic coach on. We've had Annie Murray's daughter on, who coached South Korea in the Olympics. So, Anna, we'll start with you, coming from Fargo, North Dakota. How did you make the trip out to Penn State University?
Well, I started playing for West Fargo in 8th and 9th grade, and then I actually went to Shattuck for 3 years, and then I was recruited by a different coaching staff, actually, to come to Penn State. And then I came out here and just fell in love with the campus. And I never thought of going far away from home. I thought I would probably stay closer and, at the time, maybe go to UND, which obviously doesn't have a program anymore. But I fell in love with it out here, and I just felt like home. So then I decided to come out here.
Well, Anna, looking at the girls' program, the girls can play with the boys through the Bantam, and there's a heck of a goalie, grew up in West Fargo, played all her youth hockey in West Fargo. Now she's playing in Grand Forks, the young Campbell goaltender. But it seems like once you get to the ninth grade, you got to choose between the women's or the high school girls, high school men's or boys team. But at that point, players like yourself, the high-enders, kind of have to make a choice if you're going to really excel in college afterwards. You got Shattuck St. Mary's out there that can really hone your skills and make you a heck of a player.
Yeah, and they were kind of like, I don't know, some coaches when I was getting recruited were kind of like, well, maybe you should, like, go away just because, just get more experience playing at a higher level. So that's kind of how I ended up at Shattuck. Instead, so I could go, because they were like, I was also thinking about doing just, like, a AAA option, but it was nice to have the school and hockey, like, in the same spot and not to travel so much, like, away from school.
And, Josie, how did you make your trip from Forest Lake to Penn State women's hockey program?
You can say to get away. You can say to get away from your dad.
No, it should say, Anna, you're assistant captain. You're a forward, one of the leading goal scorers for Penn State. And then Josie, you're the 4x8 sheet of plywood. That's the winning goaltender. One loss on the season. So, how did you make your trip to Penn State?
Well, honestly, Penn State kind of came pretty, like, late in my recruiting game. I was actually, like, honing in on, like, my last couple colleges before they came to, the table or the party or whatever. And I was actually, like, Hempersall was recruiting me at Princeton, and then I didn't hear – and then he, like, obviously made the move, so I didn't hear from him for a while. And then I decided, like – they, like, emailed me in, like, October of my sophomore year, and I decided that I'd come and I'd, like, you know, at least give the school a shot and, like, visit. And so I did, and then I just absolutely fell in love with the school, and, like, I love the coaching staff and, like, the culture here, and it's just, like, it was just a no-brainer for me.
Josie, it's amazing that you speak hockey, so thank you, and it's kind of fun. I think people try to look, but you actually didn't mention what I think is interesting because we kind of discussed it. You played boys hockey through your senior year at Forest Lake, correct?
I did, yes.
And how did the girls program look at that?
Honestly, I think, like, Hempersall was, like, okay with, like, whatever, like, I was doing as long as I was just continuing to develop. Obviously, there were, like, some adjustments that I had to make when I came here and, like, adjustments I had to make originally from going to girls' high school to boys' high school. But, like, all in all, I think it was, like, beneficial, like, to play for the boys' team.
Oh, yeah. I look at this. It's a no-brainer. I mean, if you can develop your skills at a higher pace, higher tempo, harder shots, more complex passing compared to a slower play. Well, why wouldn't it? I mean, there may be some players and parents on the women's team that are complaining that they lost games because they didn't have the goaltender that's world class. But that's pretty selfish when you take a look at what your track did and ended up in one of the top women's programs in the country. Go ahead, Eddie.
So, Josie, I don't know if your dad shared all his hockey lore, but there was a time back, if I remember right, 1980. I know that this was one that you might want to ask him to spend a little bit of time explaining. A game that I would tell you is one game does not make the right result at the end of the year. But East Grand Forks, the Wave, came to Waro. There was a tall drink of water grass room called Panic was the nickname, but it was Panic, if I remember right. You remember that name?
Yeah.
Big 6'5" or some goalie, and he was playing, but he didn't play that game, and this guy, Pete Bothan, ends up in goal. And the end of the game was 0 for East Grand Forks and 10 for Warroad. And your dad will probably brag me up because I don't think he saw 6 or 7 and then picked up. So that was my career game with 10 points. And in today's world, I think people would have been thinking, was somebody betting you over under and your old man trying to make a bunch of money by giving up 10?
You had to get the JV goalie in there to get some goals, huh? That was Mark Panyak. That was the goalie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we went to regions that year, and Panyak stood on his head, and we hit a few pipes, and then that was the infamous Timmy Mishler, a future teammate that played with your father, came out, and I don't know if you remember that, Jeff, back looking at it.
We were freshmen together.
Timmy Mishler put one in the top short side on our goaltender, and we were out. That was probably the only shot I had at going to the Minnesota
State
tournament.
They ended up going to the state tournament that year.
Hey, guys, let's talk some Penn State women's hockey here now.
Okay.
Hey, Josie, sitting in net watching the play. How has the college game or the last 2 years, how has it developed? Have you seen a change? I see it developing better and better and better every year with more talented players and a deeper lineup. You see that from the goal net out?
Oh, for sure. Like, I think, like, every year, like, I think talent is being more spread out, like, as well. Like, I think, like, you're getting, like, the WCHA has been, like, the powerhouse of, like, women's hockey for a while, but I think I see it, like, spreading out towards, like, the East Coast, and I think, like, all the teams, like, out here are getting, like, a lot stronger as well, which is making, like, each, like, game, like, each competition, like, really fun, and it's just, like, exciting hockey to play.
And there's opportunities afterwards. We talked to Coach Adelski, who's coaching over in China, and we had a fun conversation with him last spring when COVID hit, and he was able to make it back from Russia to the United States. But he was talking about they won the World's Women's Championship in that league. So you've got coaching, and Anna, let's talk from the forward defense standpoint. Have you seen the depth of women's hockey? Because you're what, a junior this year, or are you a sophomore?
Yeah, I'm a junior.
Have you seen that change over the last 3 years?
Yeah, definitely. I think the games are getting closer to, I guess, like, in the CHA, we've probably been thought of as, like, a weaker conference in women's hockey, but, like, teams in our conference are starting to put it or give it to other teams too. Just like the games are getting, like the scores are less spread out now too, and they're like all good games, I guess. And I'd say like the speed has gotten faster too over the last 3 years. The game's getting faster. I mean, other than when we're playing Wisconsin, it's always fast. yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
Did you play Wisconsin last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
our second week of the season.
I was at that game. I watched.
Oh, God. Who ended up winning that game?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin? Yeah. Yeah, they got a heck of a women's program there.
So, Anna, I'm assuming it got a little rough and tumble. Is that what you're alluding to? A little bit more of a... Actually, I think women's hockey is awesome to watch at the college level because the fundamentals of the game are pretty much there all the time. I mean, it's pretty physical. It's pretty aggressive. There's some old-time stick work that's allowed to go on in women's college hockey that isn't allowed in the men's game anymore. So I think they should cross the referees over and they should let the women college hockey refs call the same game in men's hockey. I think it would help the game.
Watching the Olympic team for the last you know, playing for the gold medal, USA and Canada, with no checking allowed, there was checking all over the ice. And I found the women to be more cheap, more physical, more tough.
Yeah.
There was more spit and snot coming out of their face masks than there were in the men's. So that's a compliment to you ladies. Listen, thank you very much for joining us this morning, having a little talk about college hockey, women's hockey, and good luck the rest of the season, and we'll touch base, see how you ladies are doing, and tell you what, go out, put one in the net, stop a puck, and win your next few games.
And girls, we appreciate you coming on this morning. We know you have practice. You're half an hour out, so we better let you get in the locker room so the coach doesn't think that you're sleeping in on a Saturday morning. That's not good at college hockey. So thanks for coming on. We'll let you hang up, and we'll be back here on the Hockey Guys. After a five-minute hiatus, but we, again, reach out to our show sponsor, Cullen Insulation.
And Special Light.
Yeah, there you go. Bud Light, Ham Special Light, and you got a nut job over there with the gopher shirt on this morning. But anyways, just the labels on the beer. So, and we'll be back at 8:35.
My Maserati does 185. I lost my license, now I don't drive.
Joe Walsh. We love Joe Walsh. Good job, Spence. Jeff Bradle, Eddie Christian, Eric Grafstrom. Eric, we got to tell you,
how do we put these shows together? We're talking driving at the break, and then the song comes on, and you're in the soundproof booth over there.
I don't hear you.
Hey,
guys.
Gunner.
He's got that sixth sense.
Gunner.
Yeah.
Hey, did we tell you he's a gopher guy?
No, but that's good. We need more than one.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just,
thanks for helping me out.
We got to bail out when we can.
Yeah, if I get a chance to talk, you
no.
go ahead.
We got you to tell a short story.
First
he has a short story.
Did you
no, but I'll tell you what. It takes a lot of guts to come into this studio with a authentic University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux jersey
like
hanging behind us, wearing a gopher hat. Oh, that's a Moorhead High. But a Minnesota Gopher sweatshirt. Eric, got to give you credit, my friend.
I had the subliminal M on my hat, even though it's Moorhead, but it's kind of, you know, it's Minnesota.
I thought your sweatshirt said mine, and then I had to take a double check on
it. Another Golden Eagles fan wearing an M on their hat came in the studio now, so I like those.
Oh, we got strength in numbers. Look out.
We were talking to Eric Crookston, right? Stevie Johnson.
Yeah, he's in Crookston, coaching. They got a club team going again now, so that's good. We need more teams
Stevie,
up north here.
You know Stevie?
Oh, yeah. He was running the West Fargo program. Or not West Fargo, Grand Forks Club, or the youth program.
The Icon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had an office there.
And Moorhead State has a club program. Mr. Grassroom, what were your stats? Because I told Jeff to look him up on DB, and it went off the chart.
Okay, let's find out. What year? You Mr. Gopher fan, you played at NDSU club team, right?
Yes, I did.
Well,
they could have had hockey, but they chose not to.
That's the biggest mistake they made, but you would never get that beyond the booster program. You would have had a money-producing, revenue-producing sport.
Man, it'd have been
and it would have been one of the top programs in the country at that point. You had head coaches that were and assistant coaches that were on the edge to come over and start that program like they do at Moorhead or St. Thomas. But
it's a crying shame is what it is.
So what years were you at for the Bison?
I played Bison from 83 to 86.
Okay.
84, 86, I guess, yeah. So 2 years there.
All right.
That was after playing a few years the juniors before you went there, correct?
Yeah, I went and played a year down in Des Moines for the Buccaneers. First year that they had a team on USHL.
That was kind of like the old WHL, wasn't it?
It was a little more rough and tumble, yeah, but that was hockey in those days, you know. And
what year was it in Des Moines?
That was 1980-81.
Okay, that was a year before I played. I played for the Austin Mavericks.
Okay.
We were in Des Moines. And when you walked off the ice, it Des Moines or Waterloo. When you come off the bench, you had a big curtain they pulled across so you could walk into your locker room. And it separated you from the fans, players from the fans.
I think that was Waterloo and the old Calabarn.
Yeah. And
sounds we ended a little up bit like Milwaukee.
And we ended up having a bench clearing brawl. And there's police on the ice, and they escorted us off the ice, and they pulled those curtains so we could walk down this thin hallway created by the curtain. And people were punching at the curtains at us. The cops get us in the locker room. The last two people in the locker room were wearing badges and guns, and they locked the door behind them as fans were pounding on our door trying to get us get into our locker room. But here's where I bring up NDSU hockey was. Brian Williams, a teammate of ours at UND, had called me one afternoon and said, "Hey, Jeff, there's going to be a pickup game over at the Coliseum tonight at 7. Do you want to come and play?" And I said, "Yeah, sure, I'll come over and play." And I'm 10 minutes to 7 because it's a pickup game, right?
Yeah, just go and play.
Okay, here I am wearing my old green Sioux sweats with holes in it. My pads taped.
That's because you couldn't stay on your feet.
You couldn't find your maroon stuff?
I threw that in the garbage. That's in the bathroom.
Oh.
But listen, I didn't have shoulder pads. I had my elbow pads. I had an old white jersey. And I'm standing in line with fans trying to get into the building. We were playing the Bison club team. I played for a senior men's team from St. Paul. That our oldest player was about 68. And I tell you what, when he had the puck, nobody could get it from him. Actually, our whole team. It was the national championship team for senior men's in USA Hockey.
That must have been 1982, probably. It must have been the first year they had a club team, I bet. Because I didn't play in that game.
No, it would have been later than that, 90s somewhere.
Oh, it was way.
Yeah, it would have been 90. Yeah,
okay.
90, 91. And, they could all skate us. But once we had the puck, they could never get it from us, you know?
Yeah.
Here I'm standing in line with fans to get in for a pickup hockey game, and it was the senior men's team versus the Bison. yeah, it was a heck of a team then.
Now, go Chris show you Myers, there's no reason why we shouldn't have hockey here at in Fargo as a D1.
Absolutely.
Right there. I mean, look at that.
Yeah, it was incredible teams back then. That's how Arizona State transferred right over into D1.
Talking Arizona State, it's going to be a really interesting game to watch to see which maroon and gold people are going to pull for there, because that's they're kind of could be the first real challenge for the Gophers. I believe they're on the slate Sunday, Monday, but there's 14 games today in college hockey, so we're almost back to full strength in college hockey. And you guys have heard me for a couple of weeks brag about undefeateds. I've got to give it up. American International went down to Quinnipiac twice last weekend, and that was pretty disheartening.
They're still at number 20.
But I would share with you that there's still an undefeated hanging out there, and that is Lake Superior State. So the Gophers aren't quite on the pedestal yet. They still have another undefeated out
well,
there.
Well, Eric, does your Gophers have it this year, a team makeup to take it all the way to the big show and win it?
You know, they're building. I don't know if they got enough grit to get over that hump, but they're real close, I think, to being the team. I mean, when you're...
When you talk about grit, I think there's more grit on this team than I've seen on Gopher teams over the years. And you look at who their roster is, there's kids on that team that are not from Minnesota, number one. Number two, the vast majority of those players on that team went off to play in the USHL for teams outside of Minnesota, whether it was your senior year or otherwise. So the team composition is, to me, not your cake eater Twin City kids.
Hold on. Edina, Prior Lake, Maple Grove, St. Paul, Irvine, California, Chaska, Eden Prairie, Burnsville, Fenton, St. Paul, Blaine, Scottsdale.
Hey, Eddie.
They have one Grand Rapids player, which they always do. But other than that, what do they have for grit on that Minnesota team, Grafstrom?
But I say Jeff is right. You know, so those kids, they went and got seasoning elsewhere.
Yeah, learned how to play hockey outside of Minnesota.
So they had to get roughed up a bit.
Yeah, you heard that one. You can cut and paste that one.
My question is, to my knowledge, there is yet to have, other than Fargo, the 218-701-320s. The outdoor game, the outdoor cold, I mean, I'm going to be careful here, but if you put the kids on my back pond next week, that Gopher hockey team, they would tell me that their skates aren't ground right and that they don't have the right gloves on and that they're cold. And we go out there tomorrow, Eric, and have a shinny game the last 5 hours. I mean, what are you looking for in college hockey? Because, again, I think it's going to come down. And I kind of like watching. I've been fortunate if you watch the game of college hockey. There is a huge difference in how leagues are reffed, and there's a huge difference in the game of hockey across college hockey. And I don't think right now the Big Ten is more of a skill, high-level gentleman's league, and I don't see that in the NCHC. I don't see that in Atlantic Hockey. I don't see that in the CCHA. I think you take a peek. I think it would be – it's difficult this year. We need to see the crossover games.
Yeah, I agree that it's – and I talked about this – almost every week where someone in the Big Ten wins, you know, an overtime goal, the other team comes up and pats them in the butt and says, hey, good goal, Eric. Well, in the NCHC, it's like, let's
wait
go.
Wait till next game.
Come on. We're going right now, buddy. Let's go. You know, yeah, it's the difference. Plus, I think in the NCHC, I think the playing tempo is higher with more intensity than the Big Ten. And, and I agree with you, Eddie, the refereeing is so inconsistent. You remember how it was between the West and the East when we played?
Huge difference.
Now you got, you know, between the NCHC and the Big Ten, which is two states over, you know, one state over. But, yeah but, Eric, I got to give you a lot of credit. There's not a lot of people. You got some big guts for a Gopher fan to come in the studio and sit behind that plexiglass window over there and talk trash to us.
I got conditioned at a young age, you know, growing up in a large family. You know, you take
maybe,
a meeting and keep
maybe,
on
maybe
ticking,
when
you know?
Grow up, you'll come into this studio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at the other two Gopher fans yapping away in the studio behind the plexiglass. You know, look at those guys, Eddie. You got one that's supposed to be paying attention.
Look at, they got the finger up, number one.
Yeah,
we like it.
You
like it.
So what do you think, Eric? Come on, you know, a longtime hockey guy yourself. What do you think about what I'd mentioned about those Class B players in North Dakota compared to the Class B players in Minnesota out of Crookston, Red Lake Falls, et cetera?
I think that would definitely bring that grit to the game, you know, because those kids, you know, they're used to taking a little beating and having had everything handed to them. They got to work their way up, and I think that would be wonderful for the game, you know, to get more of that type of work ethic in there.
Crosby's has the new rink, Watford City, Williston, Dickinson, Mandan. That Mandan team for a Bantam team looked pretty darn good last night, didn't they?
I was sitting and I watched a little bit, and then all of a sudden I'm thinking, okay, who is that? Because there were some big boys.
Big farm boys.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice that you can talk about the game, because I don't think that the style that I played would have fit when the guy's arms are longer than yours.
Were they physical?
That's a tough. Yeah, they were physical.
Yeah, their hockey gloves were dragging on the ice. Big 6'2", 6'3". Average player on that team for a Bantam team, I think it was 6'1".
That's some big boys.
They had some really, really big boys. Big tournament in Grand Forks this weekend. Unfortunately, fans won't see it at the Ralph. Double-A Bantam tournament going on. West Fargo's participating in that. Fargo is also in that tournament, Grand Forks. But
and
no fans.
We can talk.
But we're playing.
As of January 1st, the phone call started ringing. So there's some local talent that got calls, my understanding, from watching what's going on. Some guys got a call at 12:01 a.m. saying, hey, come play for us. So sophomores in high school are now in communication with college coaches. So it'll be interesting to see as you go through the next year where those kids end up, because lots could change with this COVID situation. How do you go out and recruit not knowing again where there is or won't be spots on your roster based on the ability to play an extra year? Not everybody's on a normal schedule, so
they'll be abnormal for a little bit, I think, till we get straightened out. But January 4th, now we're back to somewhat normal.
Eric, I'm going to throw you a softball here, but it's
I got a good
it has some spin on it. You know, we talked about second, third generation hockey parents and how they behave or not behave in the fans, and I may be overgeneralizing that, but you know, growing up in Minot, the coaches that I had were first-year coaches that had to look at the USA Hockey Manual to find out drills and how to play the game. Coming out of War Road, Eddie, coming out of Roseau, War Road, you didn't have that. You had second, third-generation hockey coaches, whether they were excellent in the game or whether they were just worked their way up into top players.
I think the key was, you know, that hockey's a simple game if you can skate. If you can't skate, it's a tough game. And I think growing up there with having the background of hockey, you had to hit the pond and go skate as much as you can and just keep skating, you know, come in for hot chocolate, back out after it. And that kind of gets to be the difference, you know. And then your parents all played and your uncles played and they knew it was just, you know, watch the game, watch that kid play.
It's kind of,
skate.
Kind of interesting, Jeff, at the rink. If you're at the rink, the parents talk about how tired the kids are, and I'm looking at them and saying, hey, listen, when you went to the rink, and still to this day, if you're in Roseau or War Road, if you go to the rink at high school player at 3:30, you're home at 10. And you spend 6 hours on the ice, so why would you get tired playing a game?
You don't.
It's a different world.
So we've
here.
Got to re-educate how these parents understand how they talk to their kids. But we're going to be back here as we're coming up against a hard break. But shout out to our show sponsor, Cullen Insulation. We have open mic, 701-271-1100. If you want to call in and help out the Little M fan that's in studio, Mr. Grafstrom, give us your thoughts on where you think the Gophers will end up this season. We'll be back.
Are you saying I should take it easy tonight, Spence, for supper or what? Hard Hat. What is it? Hard Hat or Hat? What is the name of the band?
This is Fog Hat.
Fog Hat. There you go. I knew there was a hat in there.
This is kind of bad, but that's all of the three sitting in studio today's music. So we must be getting old.
classics.
It's the best music around.
They talked about old time hockey. And anybody that's
Eddie Shore
on Twitter, if you have vintage hockey, there's some pretty classic pictures that come out on vintage hockey. It's pretty cool. Hey, Gunnar.
Yep.
Got a question for you.
I have an answer.
Have you watched your movie? The hockey movie Goon?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Just checking.
One and two.
Just so you understood where Jeff got the nickname from, just wanted you to understand that. Because most mornings you come in here, you look like you've been beat up.
Wow, I thought it was the other one. I thought it was not the good term. Okay.
Took a couple punches to the eye, huh?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Gunnar, my real question, serious, because you've been kind of silent this morning, and that's got me a little concerned. Arizona State Gophers, two-game series.
I'm worried.
Obviously, Minnesota's playing those games at home because, unlike Arizona, we'll go anywhere in the country to play a college hockey game. The Gophers are sitting there trying to stay in their environment. Welcome to Big Ten hockey.
Stop.
So anyway, what do you have for the weekend? Are the Gophers going to survive?
I'm nervous. I think there's too much time that has this first half and second half, what they have done. I'm nervous. Too much time. You go on a roll, and all of a sudden you're done for the first half, and you come back, and I think the spark is...
I think there'll be a three-goal spread. The Gophers will take care of business.
They play tonight, Eddie? What was it?
Tomorrow.
Well, they're missing three defensemen.
Well, that too, yeah.
I don't know if Johnny Walker's going to be back playing for Arizona State or not, but they're a physical team.
Arizona State.
Without Walker,
the leading scorer in the country, has gone out and competed with every team they've played.
They got local flavor on the Arizona State team, a couple of them. One being Cosby from Moorhead, and the other one being a cop rude. His dad was from Grafton.
Yeah.
And he went to school to NDSU. He lived with me.
K&K.
Yeah. And so they're, it's good to see that.
And a little shout out to the, you may have been around, Rancliffe.
Yeah.
He was going to North Dakota, he was going to Arizona State, and he landed in Niagara. And he got his first collegiate goal.
He's got two now.
So he's on a roll.
Well, you see that Arizona State coach up here watching a lot of the Force games. I mean, you got Allegiant flying right here.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty darn cheap to watch, and you can watch a lot of hockey for $160 one-way ticket,
Be an easy place to go and play, you got that nice sunshine and... be pretty good.
I don't know. It's kind of like being on Tradition Pond. The day like today, you'll get sunshine. And, you're either looking at desert sand blowing or snow. I'll take the snow myself. The pond's nice, Jeff. You could probably not. You would have trouble. It's too smooth. We've had a couple of wind
slip
days.
And fall down.
I think he's struggling.
Ooh, that ice slippery.
Yeah, but you don't know what I got in my fridge. I've got some boiled up potatoes with some cheese. When I get home, I'm going to have some potatoes mixed with. Mashed potatoes mixed with flour, egg, to make a potato dough, make them pierogies.
Ooh, that's a classic.
Pierogies. Now you drop right into the game of the week.
That's the
you
first thing he said today,
you got
too.
The pierogi Duluth. Pierogies come off the range, if I'm not mistaken. That would kind of be a pretty staple. So you have Duluth Bulldogs against St. Cloud State today. That's probably the game within the NCHC. North Dakota obviously off because of the continuations of COVID. And
that's two top fives battling it out, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're both in the top five, aren't they?
St. Cloud is, they've looked really good, and then they've just looked okay. Duluth has looked good all the time. But St. Cloud's got a nasty team, too. Really. Brodzinski's, two still playing.
I might throw out that I was a little surprised that Duluth didn't have any representation at the World Juniors, but that's just looking at what Scotty's done overall for guys that
are. You mean the Hermantown boys?
There's
a few of them.
I think there's some talent that was overlooked, but that's just sitting back and watching how they make decisions. Maybe Scotty's not in good graces with you at hockey anymore because he coached within that complex.
Yeah, you never know on that, huh?
Gunnar,
I think that has a lot to do, real quickly, Eddie, with whether the coach is from out east or the coach is from out west on who they're looking at for picking players.
Could be.
I think so. Yeah, that's correct.
Hey, Gunnar, mark your calendar.
Yeah.
1 year from yesterday.
Okay.
Tradition Pond, there's going to be a rumble.
I've got a guy
that keeps telling me that he's a player, and I told him, hey, I'll give him 1 year to train, and I'll still kick his rear end.
So a little Donnybrook?
There'll be a little New Year's Day game on Tradition Pond next year. So if you're a true fan of the game, Eric will show up. He'll be there.
We'll have to get in shape.
Well, thanks for listening to the Hockey Guys Saturday. We had a great show with a couple of gals that are representing the area and the region in the college women's game.